Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate. How you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good. My I work from home, and my family is out for the day, and so it is nice and quiet around here. It is quite nice, I have to say. I love it when they're here, and I also am quite enjoying the quiet. So it's a good day.
No footsteps just scurrying around or crying, yelling, whining, whatever.
It's like a classic. It'll be like in the middle of a call, and then, you know, they'll just decide that now's a good time to sing on the top of their lungs, like, you know, just around the corner.
So, right.
Yeah. Love them, but also love them when it's quiet too.
It's like the baby sleeping thing. It's like you're just looking, oh, they're so, like, once the day is ending, you know, you're not fighting them to go to bed or brush their teeth or whatever, and you're just looking at them sleeping, and you just go, oh, and then you're like, you forget about all the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. How are things with you?
Oh, good, good. We actually did one of those, ever hear of, like, Great Wolf Lodge?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if that's a Canada thing or how far that thing goes, but a new one opened up in Maryland, like an hour or so away, and my wife found a good deal and booked something over this past weekend, and we just went for one night and just, you know, spent the day at the water park and whatnot. So it was fun, and my kids are just at that age of, like, I feel like they could soon age out of that stuff, right? They're coming up on 13 and 11, and they had fun. They had a blast, and we were, like, racing each other on water slides and different stuff. But so it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
So trying to captivate all these little things before they flip the bit and don't want to hang out with me anymore.
Oh, it's coming soon. It's coming soon.
So, yeah. And that's a good mentality to have. It just sort of makes you think about appreciating these moments, appreciating the singing at the top of their lungs or whatever, and not being annoyed and being like, you know what? I'm going to miss it when they're gone. I'm going to miss it. And it's probably a lot shorter than this period of time than I'm thinking, you know.
That's right. You got to savor every day. You never know. You never know what's around the corner, right?
Yeah. So anyway, what's going on with you? What topics do you have today?
So, I've been doing a bunch of work on Status List. A lot of it has been thinking work. Some of it's been actually coding. I've just been trying to clean things up over there and kind of help, get some more revenue there, get customers in. And so one of the things I started doing this morning was to kind of go through different user journeys through Status List and just trying to kind of diagnose, like, why would someone drop off at this particular point? And just looking through the data a little bit, you know, where people are dropping off, and trying to kind of, shore up the weak areas.
Nice. So just to remind listeners what Status List is, we've often talked about different products we've built, different things like that. And Status List is, if you even kick off our very early episodes in this podcast, we were talking about it, and it sort of is this uptime monitoring and status pages type of software, making sure your websites stay up. And also, if they do go down, like, it's a place where customers can go and check out what's going on those pages. And because, you know, how do you communicate with them if your page is down?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we send notifications, lots of different notifications and stuff like that.
Right.
And I guess, it's always just kind of sat there in the background and just kind of quietly made a little bit of money. And I like to kind of ramp it up a little bit and see if I can do some tweaks to help things move along a little better. But I was just kind of going through, and I was actually struck by how poorly some of these workflows are. Like, I think I have this grand architectural idea of like how the whole app works and, you know, all of this
reality and, versus like this.
Yeah. Or like, I just like, I just merge all of the user experiences into one where I'm just like, mm-hmm. oh, it's pretty mm-hmm. good because I did so much work on the Heroku integration the other day. So mm-hmm. like, it must just be right. amazing. Meanwhile, the like, from website sign up flow is actually pretty bad.
Right. The onboarding and our right. Yeah.
yeah.
Or marketing page to that transition. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think maybe I have this like bias as like someone that is a builder where I just like I'll focus on the screen and then I'm like, as long as it kind of works, you know, whatever. And not thinking about like what's the customer experience as opposed to like, yeah, just getting it to function right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Have you like gone through mapping of user journeys and things like that? Have you kind of thought about some of that sort of thing?
I do. I have. And mostly how I think about them too is, you know, I think about them in different like locks of a dam, right? Like getting through different stages, right? So okay. as you talked about, like from the marketing page to through the sign up, right? There's like 50 steps in between there, right? And obviously trying to concert the whole thing is challenging. Ultimately, you do want to step back and be like, I want more signups. It's like, okay, great. But is it like, are there 50 steps or are there 20 steps? Or are there a way I could reorder these so that there are 10 steps, right? And it's hard. Some of these things is you have to like, the challenging part is not to get over analysis paralysis of where I should start.
Yeah.
And just, I think of it as either starting either at the entry point or starting at the exit. And you have to kind of choose more times than not. I would say start at the entry point, and start on the website. Right.
So. I did something right. Yes.
Sweet. Sweet. It's easier. I think it's easier because then you could find shortcuts and paths to get, or you also have to just be like, hey, if I am spending, let's say, 2 days on this or a week on this or whatever, you want to like kind of time box yourself. Cause I know oftentimes you can always try to optimize something at infinite repetitions, but you have a thesis of like, I want to get from A to B. And here's the reasons I think they should, like what's going to motivate them through. Yeah. And here's the reasons I think they would object or blockers or reasons they would not. And how can I accentuate like the reason to get through and like unblock as many things as possible. Maybe it's questions around whatever. So that's kind of where I start. And I kind of try to pick a certain area. So it's like, my goal is not to get, I want them to sign up, but my goal is to get them from, you know, even the basics, it's like sign up to actually like inputting their first, you know, web page now. Mm-hmm. Like let's take that, and so I know what I'm kind of tracking against. And then it's easy to circle back and see if you've actually made improvements on, and then until you feel like you're at a relatively local maximum for it, like you can again not infinitely trying to incrementally improve every little half percent, then moving on to the next phase.
Right? Yeah, yeah, that's really interesting because that is exactly what I did. I started with my landing page. And we had talked about that, I think a week or so ago, and just honing the value proposition there. And almost immediately I noticed a few new conversions that I wasn't seeing before. So just a bit of an uptick there, nothing like crazy, but just like a bit of a higher quality person coming through. And you know, maybe that's a fluke cause I don't have a lot of data yet on that, but,
could have just been me that did this. I just paid a couple people to give you some confidence. So.
Yeah, there you go. The invisible hand of Josh.
Right.
Yeah, so I started there on the homepage and with my pricing page as well, because that's one of my top visited pages. So it's kind of in the, you know, person is poking around sort of side of things. Did a little bit on the content side too, just to kind of clean up the UI there. But then today I was digging into the app. And kind of the first thing I did was like the setup page. And I noticed a lot of people weren't making it through that setup page, even though it's like really simple. And mm-hmm. what I noticed when I went through, like, and actually like tried to make a user account using the, like the flow that they would use, is that there's this big free trial banner that shows across the top that says your account's going to die in 14 days. And I was like, huh, that's probably not a nice thing to see when you're about to set up your account. I could see why people would, right. you know, stop yeah. at this point and be like, yeah, never mind. I'm not going to do this.
Right.
And
right. Because what was the messaging you had early on? It's like, start an account. There's a free, like a free forever plan, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
and
right.
There
so
is.
Everything that, right. And so their message matching went from, hey, I'm going to try this without pressure to all of a sudden I'm going to have pressure. And yeah. then this may not work. And then they're going to like rug pull me. What's mm-hmm. up with that? My trust just went down by a couple notches.
Yeah. And I think that was actually a leftover. The reason that free trial banner was there, it was a leftover from a previous experiment where I tried to push everyone onto a paid plan quite quickly mm-hmm. and didn't allow for a free tier. So mm-hmm. just like a little bit of cleanup, right? To be able to pull right. it out of that spot. And yeah, there is still
it's probably a huge unlock.
I think so. And like, of course, you don't know until you test it. But that was, you know, one of the major things. Another major thing that I kind of came across was that some people have like really specific types of monitors they want to set up. And we don't show mm-hmm. that on the main setup page because it's just too complicated. Mm-hmm. But if you tried to like get around the setup, you couldn't actually get around the setup. And probably should okay. have allowed them to do that. And so that was kind of the second
like what
thing.
Types of monitors? What types
so
of
like we have like database monitors or like gRPC mm-hmm. monitors. Those are pretty advanced mm-hmm. and you need some special configuration for that. Typically people are using just HTTP monitors, you know, just ping right. like an endpoint or a landing page or something.
Right.
So some of those more advanced ones, basically if you want to have only advanced ones, there's no way you could actually do that. So that was just kind of that was a more subtle one.
Right.
That, and again, these are like kind of hypotheses things.
Do you ask them that? Because that's also a good one. And I think one of the initial fallacies that a lot of people, and we've definitely fallen into, is like worried about adding too many steps, especially once they're in. And what we've realized too is like most of the time, if someone's committed to putting in the thing and they're the right fit, like they're going to sit there and they're like, I'm dedicating time to go through this sign up process, right? Like, I don't know how long it's going to be. So I'm dedicating that time. My chances of getting through, and I'm okay with asking as long as the questions seem relevant. So it's almost like, what types of monitoring are you interested in? Like click, 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 click. And if it is like, you actually want that advanced guy, right? You want to get them to like adding some database credentials like fast, if you can, like get them hooked in and show them the value, right? So, and at this point, you don't know if you have to build that, but if you started with those questions, like, hey, what are the, you know, click multi-select, what types of monitoring, you know, are you the most interested in, or do you have to even set up, or, you know, again, prompting in a way that you're getting some intel and maybe it's just like, oh, great. Like, you know, you should first set this other one up, or just like, hey, this is great. Let me just direct you right to that page and let you, if that's the only one you selected, jump you to that. You know, so I think of these all as like, what intel can I get that is also helping them along, and also help, like, I really do want to curate their journey as much as possible. You may not get to personalize all those little iterations, but if you ask, then you at least know how many people are looking for that and know if that's an area you should.
Yeah. And I do actually have like a little bit of an onboarding questionnaire before that, where I just have a series of checkboxes. And I've gotten some really useful things out of there. I haven't used that to customize the onboarding flow yet. I think that might be a little bit ahead of where I need to be at this point.
Sure. Sure.
Because the next part I looked at was my upgrade path, and my upgrade path was pretty bad. Like you look at this upgrade path that's like trying to ask you to put in your credit card information, and it just looks janky to begin with. Like, I don't know how I've gotten any conversions through this page.
How many people, do you know how many people like stop or don't fill it out, like start them, but don't finish them?
I don't actually know that. I should find a way.
That's what I'd look first, because if I already got value and I'm trying to pay, even if the thing is janky, I might be annoyed but I already made the decision to pay. So I don't know how much of that, unless they literally can't find it. Like if it's really, but even if it's janky, I don't, it may feel bad, but I don't know if that's actually going to help potential conversions. Cause I feel like, you know, once you're committed to buy, like this was good enough that I'm going to buy, like you'll
put up with
like,
some
marking that time in your brain that you're going to go through the checkout process. Like I have my credit card, I got to have this stuff, right? Like it's not a, I think once they have to have that commitment first, they're not just like, so I think there's a lot to that momentum of the commitment.
I think there's also like the problem of just clarity on that page of like what actually is going to happen when you submit this button.
Yes.
And what are you actually going to be charged? And so just cleaning up a bunch of those things. I'm just working on that actually right now. And also to add, I recently added a lifetime plan. So adding a way for people to upgrade to that path as opposed to just to the monthly plan. So just kind of expanding that out and, I'll have to do some testing as to like, you know, how many people actually open up that particular workflow and, you know, kind of see where they go from there.
No, that's good. I like that. It's funny. This morning I bought something that I was, I bought this little, tool to help with like internal linking on our WordPress site. And it was interesting. Like I did all this research. I watched this video and all this stuff. I was like, okay. And it wasn't a very expensive tool, but it was like a one site license for a year type of thing. You know, it was very easy click to buy and done. It's one of those ones you can't really free trial. So it's just sort of like they give you the plugin and they give you a license key and you go, you know, install the plugin and then add your license key. So I did the one, I bought it for one site, which was a very nominal path, very quick and easy. And then as I'm using the thing, I'm like, oh, well, they said for one site. Now, Referral Rock has like two different WordPress instances, like the base homepage and then like a slash blog. Like it's just in a subdirectory. And I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to connect the two. And then so I tried putting the license key in there. I was like, is one site meaning like one website or one or two instances? Anyway. And I realized that they did mean like instance. So I'm like, okay. And I'm like, so then I started searching like, you know, and it did block me. It was funny as it said, you already have this one if you want more sites. So it was kind of nice. They had a nice little message. So, and they're like, if you want more sites, like, you know, just go do this. And I'm like, okay. And they actually made, even though it was a many step process, like they made it probably enough people hit that, oh, I missed one, or I like this enough that I want to upgrade to the next tier. Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't, it was a lot of steps, so they didn't make it like super smooth, but it was everywhere where I could have erred to try to find it. If that makes sense. It was like, oh, you're trying to use a key that was meant for one site, which now. Cause it was weird. Cause it's like, once I installed one, it was like a one key to one install. I got the new one. It sent me a new install and a new key. And then when I tried to use the functionality that connects all the sites together, it was like, this is a one site license. You need a three site license. You probably bought the other one you need to uninstall, but it's okay. You're not going to lose your setting. Like it was all this, again, all the objections, but it was just written in text, right? It doesn't have to be fancy. It's just like when I do go to do the natural thing, they probably found enough of these nooks and crannies or got enough support requests that they're like, where can I just solve it with a message and direct them to the right place? So
yeah.
Point being, well, like, you know, sort of, I liked your lifetime. That's a natural path. Like, oh, I like this. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to buy a lifetime one. That's like, okay.
Yeah. But I think though, like you're that either if you get enough support requests on something like that, I think that's actually a really helpful thing that people are doing for you by giving you these support requests. Because I have it kind of the other way where people just don't say anything. They just leave.
That's like Africa. Like, you're like, I'm here. I want to help you. Just ask me something.
Please tell me anything. Like, you know, tell me how annoyed you are about the, you know, little button over there or whatever. I don't care. Cause yeah, like the, I think I've on the lifetime of status list, I've probably gotten like, must be like a handful of support requests and like every one of them has been something.
How do people submit them anyway? Is it over email? Just, like what do you have as a prompt?
I have, you know, email us at hello@statuslist.app or whatever. Yeah. And like, I've got a bunch of different spots that just say, hey, you know, shoot us an email, we'll help you out kind of thing. Yeah. So it's been, yeah,
I just, I'd be interesting to experiment on that too.
What do you mean?
Like putting some sort of like what people are used to, they're used to like a chat bubble. Not that it has to go to chat, but even if you just did a little bubble that has
open
like
email,
a form where you just put in the question and it's all it does is forward it to the email and like, you know, puts their login reply as a thing, or if it doesn't, like you could either find one. There's plenty of the chat things out there, I would, you know, that are cheap and free. You could probably find one that just does that. But I put that, I feel like people, that is a differentiator for you. Cause like most things, like people don't want to respond to chat, but if you did get people talking, you could get some other intel. And knowing that when they log in, if I'm having problems, like I could just ask somebody, like is a nice advantage. I would encourage you to add that, like at least even in the app, at least, like at least you get them in there. Yeah, you already have the token of their email. You can have that, send yourself a reply to, you know, to send right back to them. And even just put in the thing like, yep, I reply, like is this human reply to, like, like that's a distinct advantage these days.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's a great suggestion. I should try that out. They'll find a easy way to implement that.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see what people think about that. I do have like a lot of, I was looking through kind of the upgrade paths. And I do have a lot of upgrade paths where basically anytime we limit your functionality or anytime we put a restriction in place, there is a link there that says like, hey, we're restricting you. Click here to like get more details. And it opens up the billings like modal and says, you know, here you can upgrade, you know, this. And this is how you can kind of get more things.
Nice.
So I think that's working pretty good. I do think I have to figure out a way to make it kind of in your face, but kind of not, to like, hey, you should probably like, you know, check your servers on a faster interval, which, you know, requires them to upgrade, or, you know, you should, you know, be checking all of your apps, you know, and that also requires them to upgrade, or those kinds of things.
I think that's good. Honestly, we're redoing our own admin dashboard for Referral Rock, and it's funny, I heard this on another podcast. I think it was someone talking about HubSpot and like things they've done. And someone, they mentioned a huge unlock was like thinking of the internal app like a marketing page, like landing pages. And it was like one of these little nuanced things. And I'm like, if we had a layout that's like, why else? Yeah, all these things are just like very sterile button, do this description, do that type of thing. But if you were like, again, it's like, okay, yeah, let's roll more of our product updates. Let's roll in like when we're running a webinar, like as tiles in the home screen, like let's think about as a real estate property here, like, and getting eyeballs here. Like, why are we just like letting them sort of like, they treat it like a homepage. So, that idea of, you know, you could have like, you know, maybe it's on your dashboard, on your home login, and it's just like other suggestions, and it's just could have these other things. And they are just, yes, they are going to have them upgrade the path, but why? And information of like why this is helpful. And it's like, cool, like try some of these. These are sort of like, what curiosity hooks can you get them into that are just like, why, you know, setting up this, you know, why you would want to do X or Y, you know, type of thing. So I like that.
That's and I think that is a really good insight, just of looking at the your app as a marketing tool, because I think it's not just a utility, right? And you do have to make sure you're delivering on the utility promise, but that you're like, there are so many ways for people to use more of the app, right? And in a way, like showing it in a nice way that how they can use additional parts of the app is useful to them, right? And doing that in an appealing way is huge.
Right. And that content you can repurpose. So that might mean, hey, when you're getting I don't know if you send other, what other types of emails and notifications, obviously you probably send down notifications, but like if you also send like a monthly, hey, percentage uptime thing, email, like those are good to remind them that they're using, reminding that they're getting value, and also like put in those little, hey, same little blurbs, types of things. Yeah. And we've thought a lot about that recently, is like, we want to drive them to, especially even the trial users, like, how can I get them back in the app for a reason? Not to read a blog post, mm-hmm. actually in the app. So it's sort of like, maybe it is similar to a blog post content, but it's in the app. But once you're in the app, you're like, oh yeah, I was setting this up. I forgot to add this. Now I'm back in the mode. Like, how can I get their attention if they're going to open that email that gave them a status update and now hook them with something interesting and valuable and get them in the app, to which then their chances of actually finishing their setup are higher, right? So
yeah definitely. And I do have I think I have a few transactional emails, and those have definitely been a big help to getting people in. And like, even I have a bunch of kind of like help materials to get people started. Mm-hmm. that's really helped with engagement and stuff like that, because there does seem to be that type of person, like you said, that has that block of time kind of dedicated to it, and they are going to finish it within, like, they're either going to convert within like a week or two or not.
Right.
And that's really when you're going to tell what's going to happen.
Yeah. So if I can help that person in that week thing, like unblock them and get as many of the things so they do, you know, finish, or the ones that don't, how do I get them back in to get them, like, get their brain going again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you guys done any, you know, kind of user path reviews through any of your sites? Is that something that you guys do often, or is that kind of a exploratory thing, or not really?
Not. We have done little ones here and there. Oftentimes, like, it kind of has, it aligns with certain, there's oftentimes other challenges, you know, being an old and moldy SaaS product, like, you know, we still have old templates, old styles, and different things. So there's like attacking the surface area of some of those things can either have to be a very constrained sprint, or it falls into a bigger scope thing, you know, of when X gets done, then Y can get done, and then Z can get done. So, yeah. But what we do is oftentimes is like, we have these boards where we're collecting, I think I've told you about these before, some of our like library boards or inspiration boards. Like, we have a product design board. So there's specifically a column for onboarding stuff. So anytime I see a good onboarding experience, mm-hmm. I like record a video, take screenshots, commentary, and then just like stuff it in there. So when I am in the doing onboarding headspace, mm-hmm. I have these examples. I've done the research. And I have a lot of things. So when I am in that, it makes sense to be like, oh yeah, ooh, I really liked when I was like using X tool, the way they asked that question, like, and it helped, you know, drive me to a certain part of their product. That was really cool. So anytime I see something like, ooh, that worked on me, like, I like that, let me stuff that away. So when I am working on those things, when the light does shine on that project approval for us and it makes sense, then I've got all these ideas and kind of basically can collectively have a nice mix and hopefully an outcome that is more effective. Cause half the time, again, it's like, okay, now that I'm doing this, now I got a analysis paralysis again, the research, am I doing this right? What are best practices? What are the things? And it's then mm-hmm. I don't have that blocking me. So I'm unblocking future Josh and future product design team by like kind of just archiving what I see that I like as I explore the internet.
Yeah. But do you guys like review at all your current flow, like for things that you missed? Like, I'm thinking of just like how I stumbled across this like free trial banner that's showing up during the setup phase. Do you have a way to catch that kind of stuff, or you just, you know, as you build it, you know, hopefully you review it well enough and catch those things?
I think in the light of when we're making those changes, we do, but not on an ongoing basis. So I think we also have the fortuitousness of having like a lot of customers going through and an onboarding team that's always talking to customers. So we have this other board called UX observation. So oftentimes when someone runs into snafus, whether it's, someone will submit on behalf of a customer, but we don't have like a regular process. I've often thought about this in the past of like, oh, could I have just like a, you know, mystery SaaS shopper that like once a month kind of goes through, but the reality is it often doesn't change. And I don't know how often those opportunities come up where it's something like, oh, duh. Like, so,
yeah.
So well, I probably know. It's hard.
It's probably also hard because you have a smaller dev team too, right? It's not like you have people sitting around, you know, waiting for things to do. Because I do remember listening to a podcast where someone from Stripe was talking about their review process for their dashboards and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that they have basically the manager for like specific sections will every month or every quarter or something like that, go through all of the workflows. And they have them like all documented and stuff like that.
Right.
And to basically search for, you know, what are the UX improvements that need to happen? What are the, you know, the snafus that people might run into or just minor annoyances that they might not say, but, you know, are things that we should improve on. And maybe that's, you know, just the benefit of being in a larger organization where you have more resources and things like that.
I don't know if it's necessarily a benefit of the resources. I would just say it's probably a benefit or it's probably more of a, like moving something for them for a half a percent is actually going to make a massive difference. Right.
Right.
So, yeah. And I think that's probably the key is the volume of the thing and how much of an impact a small incremental improvement could make, like then deems it's worthwhile to do something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I think for us, once you were talking, it got me thinking about what we do once, when we redo one of these, we do have like a baseline set of metrics that we look at. So then after that, we have a report that sends like a basic funnel percentage of people that got through the steps. So we have that sent to us on, I think it's maybe on a weekly basis. It just drops into our Slack channel. So, their opportunity is there. So if we did introduce something that had a more disastrous effect, hopefully we would see it. So yeah. I'm not saying we will, but the hope is at least if you know of a baseline, so maybe it's like you left in that free trial or like some code commit happened that put some weird thing and it had a material effect, you should be able to see it. So that's sort of like the closest thing we have to some persistent monitoring, or is at least some level of like we have enough consistency that I think we would see something happen, or maybe it is goofy one week, but the next week it's back to so it's like okay, maybe there wasn't something to investigate after all, right?
Yeah, well, it's hard with weekly metrics, right? Unless you have enough volume, it's always fluctuating and doing weird things.
Yeah, so maybe then it's more of like monthly or whatever, and then at that point, yes, how much did you lose by leaving that there? If that's your volume too, it's sort of the other side of the coin.
I just find it hard having small numbers for those sorts of things because I get a weekly report as well on status list, and I get enough signups and whatnot that I kind of have a rough understanding of where things will be. But it's the numbers are so small that like you know everything goes to zero one week and it's like oh no, and then the next week it's like oh yeah okay whatever.
It all got back to the mean of what the past has been, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I hope some of those incremental improvements have made, but it's still fun. I mean, I think it's still, I liked where your head started with this, like with kind of relooking at status lists, which was, I think you're like, there are some other businesses that do what I do and they are successful. So what is that? what are they doing that I'm not doing? And I think that's a great place to be to start. Cause it's just like, okay, well, I know that there can be success on the other side. I just have to crack the code, right? So
yeah,
there's nothing like kind of having a more distinct problem to solve. That it gets fun. It gets fun.
Yes. There. Well, it's fun when it's successful too. So we'll have to see. Yes. See how it goes.
Then it's really rewarding. So
good stuff. All right. Well, thank you, Josh.
So cool. No problem. All right, Nick. Talk to you later.
See ya. Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Bosher and Josh is at JLogic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes. Episode 52, 7 years to 22 MRR and zombie startups, or episode 30. Review sites are a necessary evil and hacks to get around them. Thanks again.